Chuck McKenney joins the show to talk about feeling better about the Celtics and one thing those injuries robbed from Brad Stevens. It's the Thursday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance at all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This is the truth like 34. This is like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly.
Happy Thursday. Boston Celtics back in town. I'm back in town. It's cold. No more Florida. That's sad. So I'm a little upset. But the question is Chuck McKenney upset? Chuck McKenney of RedsArmy.com joins me, John Corrales of MassLive.com, formerly of RedsArmy.com. Last time we had you on, Chuck, you were yelling. You were screaming. You were upset. Now, how are you feeling?
You know, I'm feeling pretty good, and I know that's probably a downer for you and your audience, but you know, the team is trending in a different direction, and it's clear that they listened to the podcast, and my words were used for inspiration, especially after watching that display last night in Miami. So
yeah, I could have sworn I saw like bits and pieces of it in the locker room on the whiteboard.
I figured,
McKenney says.
Brad's a smart guy. He knows, you know, when he needs motivation, where he can turn to. You know, it's you know, we talked about this just a little bit before the start of the podcast, but I think we're all, you know, still a little bit. I think our, you know, we're still kind of in the Kobe sort of, you know, we're just all feeling sad and
sure.
Still very depressing. But last night, beating the Heat. In Miami, without Tatum and Kanter to some degree, is a huge win for this team. And I don't care what sort of schedule issues Miami had, if they were 3 out of 4 or back-to-back or whatever. That's a huge win. And we should be doing cartwheels because this team is playing much better now. And it was, you know, our favorite whipping boy, Gordon Hayward, is putting together quite the stretch. So it should be nothing but smiles, I think.
I would agree. I thought that win was very good, and I agree that the circumstances. Look, if the Celtics, we're going to get upset about the circumstances for the Celtics and what caused them to have that little swoon. Then you know whatever circumstances happen. Like this is part of it, as Brad Stevens says. He has said the words "this is part of it" so often that it's true. This is part of the schedule. And I feel like as we start to move a little bit further away from that, maybe we can, do we feel better about saying that maybe that was a little bit more function of the schedule than we would have cared to admit back when it was happening?
Yeah, that's fair. You know, it's fair. It's logical. It's not. Those aren't, you know, things I'd like to.
No. Of course not.
Those don't really fit with my personality. But you know, you make a good point. So yeah, I'll give them that. I mean, just watching them play now, and that, you know, the Sunday game aside, I think that was the kind of an anomaly.
I think that was yes.
Right.
Yes.
But just it does seem. They're a different team, right? And I don't know what the assist totals or the offensive efficiency has been over the last, you know, 4 or 5 games, but it just feels different when you watch them, right? I mean, that's just me using my eyeball test. You're an analytics guy. I'm sure you're deep in the numbers. But am I wrong to say that they look different? It feels different?
No,
I mean,
totally.
Right?
It totally feels different. You look back at – okay, so the last – 5 games, going back to the Lakers game, they shot 55%, 56% against the Lakers, 50% against Memphis, 46.5% against Orlando, 46% against the Pelicans, and 47 against Miami. Meanwhile, assist totals going back from Lakers 31, Memphis 32, 27 Orlando, 21 Pelicans, 24 Miami. So obviously, like, the higher the assist total, the easier the win. And the lower the assist total, the crappier they play because they're just not moving the ball. And I guess if you want to boil things down to like one basic stat, like that might be the most basic thing that it boils down to for the Celtics. When their assists are up, then they seem to be playing great. In fact, just sorting, I'm sorting this column out here. You got to get down to 26 assists is the most that they've had in a loss. So anything more than 26 assists has resulted in a win for the Boston Celtics. Just, I mean, obviously other things, but basically, to your point, they move the ball, they're moving around, they're unselfish, they're active. That probably means that they're moving defensively as well. I'm just looking at the biggest assist night was they have 232 assist night. Okay, never mind. One is an 11 steal night, one is a 5 steal night. But point is that there's a lot of these high assist nights also correspond to double digit steal nights. So it just means that when you're getting out in transition and you're sharing the ball, like you're generally getting assists by getting the ball out to somebody else who's going to make a layup. So yeah, the Celtics have played better. They have played well against a little bit of an easier schedule. They have gone out there and moved. The question now is, they did this without Jason Tatum. And has it shown us that when one guy is out, it's easier for the other three or four stars that are there to kind of play together? Is five guys that they're trying to put in there, or four of their elite wings, you know, Kemba, the Jays, and Gordon, is four too many? Do they need three? Does this go back to one of these guys has to come off the bench?
Yeah, you know, for a minute there, I thought you were going to play the old, is this team better without Jason Tatum?
No.
Which,
who do you think I am, Shaughnessy?
Has been floated somewhere in the globe or on talk radio. But, you know, it's fair, right? Because, yes, you know, with those four guys playing and just the need for each of them to get their shots, you know, I guess there's got to be some truth to it. I can't just refute it. I'm still, you know, it's funny because we did have this hiccup with Tatum getting hurt, which initially we thought was, you know, could have been a bit more serious. So he's been out. So we still haven't, we really want to enjoy, like, you know, 12 to 15 games with everybody healthy, right?
Right.
Isn't that what we're looking for, to get a really
right.
true sample of how they can play? And if maybe they scuffle through that, at least offensively, you say maybe there is something to that. I don't know. I still feel like it would be such a monumental shift. In my gut, I don't think Brad would do it. I think it would take significant, you know, slump for this team for him to have to do something like that.
Yeah.
I just don't sense. I think we've seen enough with the four of them together that we'll hope that they can work through it and get the reps and such. Not to say the point isn't valid, but I don't know. I don't want to say it's a demotion, because I think they're all team first guys, but there would be something about it that might not sit well with the player who's kind of pulled off the first unit. I don't know. That's just me. That's just what my hunch.
It's, you know, it's fair. I do have a thought that it's like a counterpoint to my own point, which I'm going to make when we come back after the break. But first, my bookie is here to help you get through the last week of football and the beginning of college basketball and all of these other things that you can do to start betting on sports. Between all of that stuff, you can get off the sideline, get into the action with MyBookie. If you want to bet a little to win a lot, you can try a parlay. If you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are great because they let you bet multiple games together, so you can get a much bigger payout. If you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag, because no one gives you more ways to win. Tired of watching those games from the couch with nothing to gain? What's the point of that? MyBookie wants to get your mind off of everything else and back in the game. So if you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. So that means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. You win before you even place a bet. So join using the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA. Take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
So I made the point, the question of whether one of these guys should go to the bench. Normally, I suggest Gordon Hayward because I think that makes the most sense if you do this. So two things. I think we'll see what happens with the trade deadline. And if the Celtics add any help off of the bench, that might influence how the Celtics kind of change up their lineup if they do. Secondly, I think one of the big drawbacks that the Celtics have faced with all of these injuries is Brad Stevens has not gotten to properly experiment with his lineups. And we always talk about that October, November, December is when Brad really starts to tinker. When do these guys come out of the game? Who comes out 5 minutes into the game? Who starts the second quarters? All of those things are things that Brad Stevens likes to tinker with over the first few months. But Gordon Hayward missed most of December with a broken hand. Guys have missed a lot of time between now and then, and enough guys have missed these little windows that Brad Stevens hasn't had a chance to figure out, all right, what's the proper mix of pulling a guy out early and then putting him in? And instead of starting Gordon Hayward on the bench, let's say, maybe the answer is simply Gordon Hayward comes out at the 6 minute mark and then comes in later, and he's basically playing with the bench anyway. So you don't have to necessarily sit him, but you stagger the lineups in a way that it's Gordon comes out first, but you throw him in there just to see, okay, who's got the hot matchup? Who's going to be out there cooking? And if something happens that it doesn't, maybe Gordon's going and you say, you know what, today I'm going to take Tatum out early and see if I can do something different, or Kemba or whatever. So I still don't think that we've seen Brad Stevens figure out his rotation necessarily. So that's going to happen first before he figures out who's going to the bench.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think, I mean, we've seen some unusual lineups, but it's not based off of what you're talking about. It's just based off of the fact that they've had injuries.
Yeah.
They've had injuries and they've had to just kind of roll with it. What's interesting though is, so lately, and I think it's over I know the Celtics are down two rotation guys, but Brad hasn't, is this the second game he's only played eight guys? Didn't he only play eight against the Lakers?
Yeah.
So is this a little bit of a sign to the front office saying, I can't play these guys, so if you're not going to get me, if you want us to go deeper, because the minutes were heavy last night. I mean, Brown had 41 minutes and 38 for Walker, and I think Hayward had 39 or 38. So that's heavy minutes for the Celtics.
Yeah, it really is.
What should we read into that? I mean, aside from, yes, they're down two rotation guys, but still, I thought Langford would get 10 to 12 minutes last night. Hey, we didn't see him at all.
So
I didn't think he'd play these guys heavy minutes. So is that some sort of signal that some of these guys are not playable?
Well, look, who are the guys that didn't play? It was Carson Edwards, Romeo Langford, and Vincent Poirier. I mean, yeah, no kidding, they're not playable. Like, the game was close, and
yeah.
So first things first, it shows that Brad understands the importance of this game. He understands that winning a tiebreaker, because now Miami is 0-2 against
right.
the Celtics, and they have winning records against a lot of these other teams in contention for a second seed. So this that was an important win, not just a good win, a gutty win, an important win because the Celtics are now much closer to this tiebreaker, and so that helps them out a lot. And I think Brad Stevens, even though he won't admit it, does know that that was a big game. So they needed those guys to win the game. And obviously, Jalen and Gordon having two of the three highest minutes totals, it also went to show that they were hot. And I think he was riding those guys
yeah.
as much as he could. But absolutely, without Javante, who was a guy that they sort of trust off the bench.
I forgot about him. Yeah.
Yeah. But yep. So Tatum, obviously, it changes the dynamic a little bit. But yeah, I think an 8 or 9 man rotation. This is more playoff rotation. If they get somebody, let's say they package somebody and they figure something out, whatever. They're still going to go to an 8 or 9 man rotation in the playoffs. So this is a little bit more of what we're probably going to see. And I let's look at the schedule because, I do know that the All-Star break is coming up. So this might also be a, hey, we're now on in every other day. We don't have any more back-to-backs. We've got a couple more weeks before All-Star. Like we can ramp it up. So what, Golden State, Thursday night, Saturday, Philly. Yeah, every other day they've got basically two more full weeks left of games. Two games this week and two more full weeks after that. Five of them are at home. Maybe Brad thinks that this is an opportunity here to ramp up the minutes a little bit, knowing that these guys are about to get a week off for the most part.
Yeah, and there are some light games coming up. There's a couple with Atlanta and Orlando. But I think in a perfect world, we don't want Ojale playing 20 minutes. I mean, you've always been a little bit higher on Semi than I have. But, you know, he did play 20 last night. I think he was the only guy who was at a minus. He was minus 9. Everyone else has plus numbers.
But I didn't think he was that bad, though.
No, I mean, he hit shots, right? I mean, that's the thing with him. It's usually he looks bad when he's not – you know, when he's missing open threes, but you're right. He did have a few buckets. But I just don't think we want, you know, I don't want him playing 20 minutes moving forward. I just don't, that's where I want the upgrade. You know, that's where I want Danny. There are minutes to be had, right? If Ainge brings somebody in, there are minutes to be had because Ojale can come way down off the 20. That's all. I don't know. I feel like it's been a kind of a bit of a lost season for him. I'm not super high on him anymore. Yeah. And who knows if there's a trade for a wing, he's likely somebody that could be shipped out.
I would expect that some combination, like the combination of Shemmy and Poirier plus a pick is the one that people are throwing around because you mm-hmm. think like, you know, maybe Poirier can figure something out and be, better. I haven't really talked about the Orlando game. He was bad at the beginning of the Orlando game, and part of why they turned things around in the second half was because they didn't play Poirier in the second half. So he's slow to pick up some of the things that the NBA level. So I compare him a little bit to Daniel Tice in that, you know, I know Daniel Tice played some in his first couple of years, but he wasn't as good as he is right now. And it took him a little while. So, promise there. Some promise maybe with Shemi Ojeleye, change of scenery. You pick up a draft pick and you give, an okay bench player up for him. So, I mean, that's the if that's the extent of what I would expect. And if the Celtics do that, that's okay. But I will say that Brad Stevens may not be like pushing for that necessarily, because you got to consider the defensive drop off. Like, they do use Semi Ojeleye in defensive lineups. And if Grant isn't ready, or if Grant is in a bad matchup, or if Grant gets into foul trouble, which is possible, Ojeleye, you kind of need Ojeleye for his defense. And I don't know that we're taking that into account when we think about, like, maybe some of the guys that we're bringing in. Not that that's saying I'm not going to trade Semi for it,
yeah,
but you do have to consider that drop off a little bit, right?
You do. I just think overall with that second unit, I feel like offense is where, you know, is where the boost is needed. You know, Wanamaker just, he had that ridiculous start and he's definitely leveled off. But I think with Grant and Ojeleye and Wanamaker, they're all, you know, better defensive players than offensive players, right? I mean, that's a very general assessment. and then Cantor is, you know, is on the other end of the spectrum. So for me, it's just about trying to find someone who can just make scoring a bit easier. And I know with that comes a trade-off, but I just feel like that's something that this group needs.
Yeah, no, it's fair. There's no perfect solution. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back to wrap up the show. Stick around for more Locked On Celtics. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. All right, finishing things up, let's go back to the Miami game. We talked about Grant Williams. I thought Grant Williams did a great job in the fourth quarter of that game. And he's so up and down sometimes. Like, there are some matchups where it's just really tough for him. But I thought that might have been, like, the ultimate kind of Grant Williams game, where I thought he did fantastic. But there he is with 5 points, 7 rebounds, no assists, 0-for-1 from three. Like, you look at the line, you'd be like, what are you talking about? That Grant Williams did a good job. But I thought that fourth quarter, they don't win that game without Grant Williams in that fourth quarter playing the defense that he did.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch the game and you watch the fourth quarter closely, you knew that Grant had a positive impact. I think we all saw it. I think there was a series. It's the usual, you know, all the bloggers and beat writers were firing off the tweet at the same time. I think it came at a timeout or something.
Yeah.
Where we're all like, Grant is just having a great stretch here, and it's true. He does that. So when you see that, because not every guy can play like that, right? It's make those types of plays, set those screens. I mean, we've seen enough basketball to know that not. You know, it seems easy and fundamental enough, but not every guy has that. And it was great to watch. And that's really that's what he needs to bring, especially with this group of offensive players. That's where he needs to be most consistent. You know, and I also thought it was vintage smart. Right. Like, Marcus was well. He was shooting poorly. He was making some really like head shaking passes, which is very unlike him. And then in that final 2.5 minutes, he was just ridiculous.
Right. Right.
And Kemba said it in the post game. He was just like, you know, he strips out of bio. He gets the offensive rebound. I think the tap out, he hits the 3-pointer. It was just like, after having a game where you're like, man, Marcus is actually hurting us. He makes some huge plays, but that's what he does, right? I mean, he can play. He played 36 minutes. You could say 33 of those were not that good, but the three that mattered came when the game was on the line. That's what he does.
Feels like Marcus might have come down with a touch of the Miami flu. I would say for most of that game, he was not great. I mean, he had his defensive moments. He'd have, like, every once in a while, like, a strip, a steal, a dive, He did like, he had flashes here and there. And then he'd like, oh, all right, I did this thing. I can kind of relax for a little bit because I got no energy. And then it, he like found the reserve down the stretch. I mean, I don't know what he did. I don't know. Maybe it's just a bad game. But he sure as hell played like a guy who had no gas in the tank and was found it for like little stretches here and there. And then finally in the last few minutes was like, okay, buddy, let's do this thing. And then he did his thing. So whatever, it's fine. As long as he did it, he did it. And, but, obviously I'm joking around a little bit. I don't know what he did, but it sure felt that way.
Do you get the sense that Miami is kind of, and I see this from some of the Celtics guys out there, bloggers and such, that Miami's not a legit sort of, that there's some fraudulence to them, right? And I think, you know, like in your piece about the zone, you know, Miami plays a lot of zone. Teams are really going to – that's not going to work in the playoffs, in a playoff series. Just sort of statistically, their numbers don't – I guess historically with their net rating doesn't signify that they're a true powerhouse team. Do you get the sense that they're a bit fraudulent?
I don't know about fraudulent, but –
It's a little strong,
but I can certainly see the case. I can certainly understand, like, the Celtics made their run in the third quarter because they figured out the zone. The Celtics struggled in the second quarter because they couldn't figure out the zone. And if you, there's only so many ways you can kind of mask what they're doing. So you look at the numbers for the Miami Heat. Their net rating is plus 3.7, which would put them, what, 4th, 5th, tied with Philly. Celtics are plus 6.7, so their point differential is a lot better. Miami has a bad road record. They're below 500 on the road. Obviously, they're very good at home. Let's take a look at the above 500 and all of that stuff. Miami 11 and 8 versus above 500 teams. So, that's Celtics are 9 and 8. So, you know, they have quality wins, but I get it. You play a lot of zone, you throw it out there and it seems like gimmicky. And some of the lineups that they throw out there seem kind of gimmicky, but the whole point of the zone is to kind of screw you up for, you know, a couple of minutes. You know, and it's not supposed to be a thing that you play for an entire quarter. You put it out there until the other team figures it out. And the second you see them figure it out, you switch. You know, maybe you switch to a different zone or maybe you switch to a man-to-man and you try something else. But the whole point is to gain an advantage for 2 or 3 possessions. And if you can extend that to more, if you can extend that to 2 or 3 minutes or an entire quarter, then you keep rolling with it until the other team can't, you know, figures it out. But it should be easy to figure out at the NBA level. So I don't know how well that's going to translate in the playoffs. I think honestly, Chuck, some of the rules that we used to think about what translates in the playoffs, those have changed because the offensive style has changed so much that I think some of that zone defense that you could never play, I think maybe you can against certain teams.
Yeah. I mean, in some cases you have to, right? like you said, until they figure it out. I guess for me, I thought Miami would be middle of the pack, and they've clearly exceeded that. I just look at some of the, you know, I just don't, you know, outside of Butler, and I know Adebayo's having a great season. I'm just not fearful of a lot of guys. So I think in a series they can be had. And sure. I see that, you know, I see Oladipo's back with the Pacers now, right? So that's what I think. It's still like Indy to me can still be more concerning than the Heat, right? And I don't know. I've never really liked Miami, so I'm sure I have some bias in there. Yeah, and I was surprised that we didn't get to see Olynyk play. It didn't seem like he was injured. Not that I care too much about what's going on in Miami, but I definitely have one eye on Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth watching. You know, I think there's enough to be worried about with all of these teams, but it's so funny that things that work for a team in the regular season, you don't know if it's going to work in the postseason. And the one thing I will say about the Celtics is that their style should still work in the playoffs, because it's just a matter of executing and putting forth the effort and relying on those guys on the wing to really just move the ball and not fall into isolation traps. And if they can continue to do that, they should be okay. But the Raptors, the Heat, the Sixers, the Pacers, four very unique challenges in those teams. And depending on health and depending on just the effort and maybe even home court, that could be the difference between the Celtics winning and losing a series there.
Yeah, you know, and maybe, you know, like my mood has been pretty positive for this podcast, but I'm just looking ahead, right? I'm forecasting some potential negativity. There's that 76ers game on Saturday night. So if you and I podcast on Sunday night and Boston loses again to the 76ers, depending on the circumstances, I could be pretty pissed off. So just throwing that out there.
It's a little tease, possible angry Chuck. This is like a weather forecast. I'm keeping my eye on an angry Chuck front moving through possibly on Saturday.
We need that win. We got to beat them. I'm tired of this.
The good news is that Tatum has been upgraded to questionable for the Warriors game. And so they may hold him out for that one just because groins are so tricky and sensitive and you just don't want to run the risk. So maybe one more day for safety and bring him back against Philly would be a good idea. We'll see what happens. All right, we'll keep this one in our pocket and see if we get Angry Chuck for the Monday podcast. In the meantime, if that's not enough to get you to subscribe, I don't know what is, so go ahead and subscribe to the podcast so you can get the show delivered to your device whenever it posts. Do that, and all of you regular subscribers, you regular listeners, a 5-star rating and a good written review would be a great help. And share the podcast. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.